We've been talking about the Holy Ghost and the kingdom of God. Sorry, I have to speak just a little bit more carefully this morning, as I'm not sure how long my voice will last. Everything is good. Feel good. Finally got to sleep. It was three nights. I got 2 hours a night for three nights, and then I was done. And the last night I got, Friday night, was 2 hours. I went to, finally got to sleep at 4 a.m, and just because of a dry tickle in my throat, kept coughing. But I woke up to my wife, honey, I had been asleep for 2 hours, and I jumped up. Wow, what's the matter? And one of the pipes broke downstairs, and we had 2 inches of water in our basement. So we ran down there and bare feet, 6 a.m, and turned off the water, and we cleared out the basement, cut out the carpet, and we'll get back at it, right? These are things that, and my wife, we get done, and she says, honey, we are so blessed. And I said, that's what I was thinking. we're so blessed that we weren't gone for a week somewhere and came back at the house, and we're so blessed. And she went on the whole list of them, and I'm like, yeah, I agree with you, honey. I agree with you. That's how we have to look at it. But he's such a good God, amen? That even in the midst of that, we could rejoice. And we laughed, and thank God for the boys that came over and helped us tear things out and put things back together. Where's T-Lou? He's not here this morning? T-Lou, oh, there he is back there. All right, T-Lou. He was sleeping downstairs on the floor, and he woke, his butt was all wet when he woke up. He goes, what happened? Did I wet myself or something? And he's like, no, just the drawers was all soaking wet. He didn't know what was going on. He swam over to the couch and got Gavin, and then the two of them, they came running upstairs. But wonderful things happen at our house when you sleep over. And it was his birthday. That was our way, you know. In Africa, they throw a cup of water on you. In Klavrik, we just drown you in the middle of the morning. So let's go before the Lord and pray, shall we? Father, oh, once again, we come before you. We're so thankful. Lord, your love is amazing. Your love drew us to you. It caused us to surrender and to take all we are and just give it to you. And Lord, you have now taken a life that was broken and busted in each one of us, and you have made something beautiful out of it, where now other lives are hearing about the goodness of a king who came and delivered a people unto himself so that they would live a life that's worthy of how they were created. Father, we agree that we've been created in your own image. We agree that we've been created for greatness. Lord, to be able to walk through the darkness and dispel your light. And every time we do, your light always conquers the darkness. Father, we thank you for the authority that you have given us through your word, that every demon in hell is subject to the name of Jesus through our lips. And no matter how dark or evil it may be, we walk in victory because of that name that we have been given the power of attorney to use in every situation. So, Father, today we're reminded of the power of the blood that took away, as those girls danced to, it took away the death, it took away the fear, it took away the the hopelessness in our lives, it took away the guilt and the shame. It removed the condemnation, and it brought freedom into our lives. But Father, we know that even though we die, yet shall we live because of the power of your great love towards us. Thank you for this time and season that we live in to express your love and your glory, your majesty and your power on the face of the planet, bringing home more of your children one after another as they surrender to your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today I've got my feather in my pocket because my grandson, he went turkey hunting. And they shot a turkey. So I said, I want a feather when you come back if you get one. So Chance ran up this morning and he said, Pa, I got you a feather. Nothing better than being a grandpa. My goodness. Of course, you had to be a dad first to become a grandpa, you know. So we loved every minute of that too. Not diminishing that at all. But just sort of took my breath away when he came running up this morning. If you have your Bibles in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. going to go over a couple of things. It says, now after that, John was put in prison and Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. We know the gospel is the good news of the kingdom, right? The gospel is the good news of the kingdom. We're brought out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. Luke said in 4:43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. And I know we've gone over this a couple of times, but so many people are living in the domain of this world rather than in the domain of the kingdom of God. Because when we live in the kingdom of God, we live in the king's domain. Amen? We live in that domain where all authority and power has been given to us. Tell your neighbor, say, I've got the power. Right. His name is Jesus, right? And he's given us the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said that all that the Father has is mine. All the Father has is mine. And then he says, all that I have is yours. Is yours. So like Pastor Jeff had prayed earlier, and he said all of our play money, we traded all in. All the monopoly money that our government gives us that's worth about 3 cents on the dollar. Please don't stake your eternity on what you possess in your pocket or in your bank account. Please don't chase after that all the days of your life, because your flesh will tell you that you'll never have enough. I want you to know that with God, that widow's mite was more than enough. And he met all of her needs all the days of her life. Don't be chasing after the play money, but use that to expand the kingdom of God, because that's eternity. Amen? Yes. The church must get to a place where we go beyond the knowing and actually live in the power of the promise from the King. This is not about knowing. This is about going. It's not about knowing, because a lot of people know about the kingdom of God, but most of them, we're not talking about our church. We're talking about the church. In America, most of them know, but very few go. So the question would be, where did you go this week? Because you know. That's for each one of us, amen? Did you go to anyone? Did you go anywhere on his command or in his desire for his purpose and his purpose alone? Or did we only go where I went because I wanted to in order to accomplish what I thought would be worth my time? And I know it seems harsh, but we're going to stand before God one day. And I was talking with my bride, and we were just discussing last week. We were talking about just standing before him, and are we utilizing all that he has given us for his glory? And I don't know about you, but we haven't. Maybe just me and my wife. And there's things that God is sort of just massaging in our lives. Because God doesn't usually come alongside and slap you alongside the head. We want that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to sit there and try to work through. I want, just tell me. Just bam. Don't do that again. Okay, I'm good. Hey, should I go this way? No. All right, I'm good. But God massages it because he wants you to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost so clearly, and that it's your desire not to. Amen? Because you see, it's our desire to go in the wrong direction. We've done that many times. It's our desire to give our heart to things that are outside of God's purpose and plan. Whether we look at it, whether we work at it, whatever we do, we've given this flesh has dominated many areas of our lives. But I believe it's a time and a season that God wants to pour himself out through you. Tell your neighbor, say, through you. Right. On this earth, right? Psalms 115, 16. It says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The earth he has given to the sons of men. And we've heard this before. It's been given to you. When you walk outside, you can go cut down any tree on your own property that you want to. You can pick flowers anywhere you want on your property. You can go in there and you can fish if you want to and catch fish out of whatever pond you go to. And you can eat the fish or you can release it. You can go out hunting and shoot whatever's out there. God said, hey, I gave this earth to you. You can go and grow and build as big a garden as you want to. Why? Because God gave you the earth. He gave the earth to you. If you want to go and run 50 miles and not stop running, you're free to. I will not be with you. If you want to jump on an airplane and go halfway around the world, you're free to. You want to eat the food over in Egypt, it's incredible, just so you know. Or Lebanon and the juices over there and the fruit is amazing. If you want to go over to China and find out what's going on, you can go anywhere on this planet you want to. Why? Because he's given you dominion. He said, the earth is yours. You rule. You rule here. You have freedom to go wherever you want to go. And how many people won't leave Hudson? Yeah, but you don't know what Fox News said. You don't know what CNN said. You don't know what our government said. Don't go there. It's not safe. Let me give you a little piece of information. They lie. It might be news to some of you. They lie. Wherever you go, your God goes with you. And he goes before you. Amen? The earth is yours. Go and take dominion. He said, I've given you dominion over the birds, the fish, the animals, everything. The only thing he didn't give us dominion over is what? Man. Tell your neighbor, say, you don't have dominion over me. Tell your other neighbor, say, yeah, that goes for you too. Because some husbands were like, yeah. First time they ever stood on that promise. But this is where you have dominion, wherever you walk. Any place. You're walking down the street. He said, go wherever you want. Oh, don't walk down that street. Yes, you can. Don't talk to that person. They look different than you. Oh, you can talk to anybody you want. You can encourage anybody you want. Isn't it amazing how caught up people get in looking at what they look like? Right? Humans, right? That comes from that word humus, right? Which means what? Dirt. You're made of dirt. That's all you are. From the dust you were created and to the dust you will return, right? So you're dirt. We got black and white and yellow and orange, whatever color we are, and people get all distracted. But tell your neighbor, say, you're nothing but dirt. That's all that body is that you possess. Can we stop getting distracted by dirt? Can we stop getting distracted by dirt, what somebody looks like? Long hair, short hair, tattoos, whatever it is. I don't know. And we stay away. That's just dirt. It's the Spirit of God on the inside that's giving you life. That's how we walk. We walk according to the Spirit of the living God. Right? If you don't have the Spirit, you're not of God, the scripture says. So why, if we're walking in the Spirit, do we look around, do we get distracted by dirt? If we can stop getting distracted, we can accomplish a lot. How many times have you been distracted by what somebody looks like, by what somebody said, by what somebody acts like? Because you looked at the dirt. It's just dust. But it's that Spirit on the inside that wants to get released. That Spirit is in bondage in that body. That Spirit has been lied to. Maybe that child was lied to and said they're not wanted. Maybe that was you. Maybe that person was lied to and said you needed to be abused, you deserved it. Right? These are all the things that people have in their minds of why they walk less than in the world compared to the freedom that God has given. And then we walk by and we get distracted by what they look like. Listen, this is the kingdom of God we're building, not the kingdoms of man. We're stepping outside of that. Amen? You can go anywhere you want. You don't even wonder if you can walk outside and jog wherever you want to go. Do you worry about it? Oh, no. I'll look down. How much money do you spend to look good just jogging around? Nike is making billions because you want people to see you in a certain shoe. You think anybody cares what shoe you wear? No. But Nike says, oh, you need this. And they convince you. And years ago, Champion was the cheap stuff. That's the stuff we got for Christmas, right, Mom? Champion sweatpants and shirts. Now all of a sudden it's $80 for a Champion. Why? Why? That was the stuff that you gave to Goodwill. Now it's changed. Why? Because they marketed it properly and people are like, I need to look like this so people see me. They don't need to see you. They need to see the Christ in you. I don't care what you wear, but you don't even think twice about going out and jogging. Go and do what you want to do on the earth. Why? Because you understand you have dominion here. You live here. God placed you here. You've got freedom here. All right. We're in agreement. This is your earth. He said, wherever you go, it's yours. Wherever you put your feet, wherever you want to walk, go and enjoy what I created just for you. What a father. Some people like staying up in the mountains their whole life. Other people want the beach their whole life. Some people want both. Some people don't want anything. Some people want a TV their whole life. But God created this earth for you to enjoy. And he said, go on. You have dominion. And look at how we live. You get in your car and you drive wherever you want to go. That's what you do when you know you're allowed to. When you know you're allowed to, you are free and you act free. God wants us to walk free. He created us to walk with him, and all he has promised is known as the spirit of promise. Amen? It is the promise that God gave us. He did not want us wondering if we have been washed clean. The Holy Spirit says that all of your sins have been washed away, right? The blood of Jesus Christ. We know we go to the cross, right? We come to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. His blood was shed to wash away our sins. That's where most of the church ends their walk. That's where they end their walk. And every day they try to convince themselves that they're washed. That's where they spend their whole time. Oh, God, forgive me. I did it again. Oh, God, what about this and what about that? And they put themselves in bondage. When you wake up in the morning, you get dressed with all your gear. You just walk out the door and walk wherever you want to walk. But then when it comes to walking in the Spirit, all of a sudden we're confined to a thought that's a lie. Are you washed by the blood of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Okay. Are all of your sins forgiven?
Yes.
Wonderful. As the Spirit of God, does the Spirit of God live on the inside of you?
Yes.
Right. Therefore, are you powerful?
Yes.
Are you mighty to the pulling down of strongholds?
Yes.
Right. Is your whole family going to accept Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Doggone right there. These are the promises God has given us and the freedom that we're able to walk in. It's what he said. No different than walking outside, taking a prayer walk. You can walk in the Spirit. Well, you don't have to wonder, is God going to accept you? Tell your neighbor, say, he accepts me.
Yes.
Tell your other neighbor, say, he loves me the most. Some people are, I don't know, I think I just lied. I don't think he loves me the most. Yeah, he does, you see, because you don't understand the dominion that you have. You got to the cross, the blood was enough, and now you got to stay there in the blood and you can't go any further. The purpose of the blood was preparation. The purpose of the blood of Jesus Christ was to prepare you for one thing, the infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You see, in Genesis, when God created man in the dust, and then he breathed that breath of life into him, and the Spirit came into him, and he walked spiritually close to God.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
What was lost in the garden, that spiritual walk with the Father? Now the blood came, washed you and cleansed you. The Spirit of God fills us so that we can walk that close again. God was the inventor of cool, because God walked in the cool of the day with Adam. They weren't wearing Nike. But God was walking in the cool of the day with Adam. He had a freedom. And Adam had a freedom to talk to God about everything. Do we have a freedom to talk about to the Lord about everything? Or do we hold things back because we're not sure if the blood was enough? Are there things in your life that you still say, I'm not sure if God will accept me because? I'm not sure if I'm free because? Can we get past that? The blood's purpose was to prepare you for greater things. Not just so you can get through life, not just so you can second guess God, not just so we can walk around powerless and say, well, I'm washing the blood. And how many times do people, you watch their lives and their whole life, they spend their whole time, I'm washing the blood. I'm sure I am. I'm pretty sure. I'm positive. I think I am. Nothing but the blood. Listen, I love the blood. Without the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But it was preparing you for more. It was to wash and cleanse. We do water baptism. That's a symbol. Hey, I'm done. I'm a new being. Something brand new, a new creature has entered the atmosphere. Whole new creature entered the atmosphere. I'm walking on this earth where I have dominion and I can speak to my God, and therefore he'll tell me what to say to each person I come in contact with because I'm free. I'm no longer filled with guilt and shame and condemnation. I have a right walk with God. It was preparation. The blood was preparation for you to walk in power. But the church doesn't want to talk about the Holy Ghost anymore. Isn't that amazing? The blood isn't the end. It's the beginning of your next life, a life of freedom. It's the beginning of a new opportunity for you to walk carefree, for you to just come into the church and start to worship and shout and dance like David did. Thank God for belts. But that's what he gave you freedom for. He set you free so you don't care about the person next to you or their opinion of you. Your God cleansed you. The blood was enough and it washed you. The Holy Spirit now comes and dwells on the inside of us. And now he says, come, here we go. We're gonna have a wild ride. This is what the Holy Ghost says. When you wake up in the morning, the Holy Ghost says, you ready? Yes. Yeah. You ever been on one of the mechanical bulls? Oh, this is wilder. The wildest roller coaster? Nothing compared to what I've got planned for you today. I've got something so exhilarating, something so breathtaking prepared for you, because we're going to watch someone's life change by the power of God in you. Their whole future is going to change because of your freedom that I've given you through the blood and the baptism and the Holy Ghost. This is what our lives are supposed to be. You want to understand what dominion on the earth is? This is walking in dominion when you're not afraid any longer of the dirt you see. Isn't that amazing? You look at dirt and get distracted. We gotta change the way we think, amen? All right. The blood did its job. The washing is over. There's a regeneration. The Bible says that all things have been made what?
New.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, you want to cool this off a little bit? Is it me? Are you guys comfortable? You good? Okay, never mind. I'll sweat. The regeneration, all things, tell your neighbor, say, all things have been made new.
All things have been made new.
Darren, I didn't see your lips moving. Did you say it? All right, you know I'll bring you up here, right? All right. All things have been made new. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're completely ready to receive Jesus. When you accept Christ, that blood's enough for you to prepare you to receive the Holy Ghost. And when we're filled with the Spirit, the fullness of the connection is repaired. The brokenness in the garden now is repaired. God has repaired you to himself. There was a connection that was missing. It was broken, right? Listen, there's no more static between you and God when you walk in the Spirit. Right? When you speak in tongues, no man can get between you and God. That's your private talk, that's your private language with God. When you speak in tongues, when you walk in the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues, no man can go in there and sever that connection. That's you and God. You're establishing things when you're speaking to him. And he's establishing things in your heart when he speaks to you. These are the things that he's preparing us for. He's preparing you so that the Holy Ghost now can lead, he can guide, he can comfort, he can heal, he can direct, he can do all that he needs to do. Because to be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. We don't like control. We like to be in control, but we don't want to be controlled. And that's obvious. Because if the church was controlled by the Spirit of God, America wouldn't be in the shape it's in. Right? So we have to take responsibility. Can everybody agree? Tell your neighbor, say, this is your fault. No, I'm just kidding. But the church has to take responsibility, right? The church has been worried, is the blood enough? For how long? And they don't go past that. And then it says, hey, be filled with the Spirit. Oh, let's not talk about that because we can't explain that. The Holy Spirit is referred to as he, not it in the scriptures. He is God. And he wants to live in you and through you. But we're going to have to surrender to that leading. And I know that he speaks to each and every one of us. Can I tell you? And God speaks through others to you. Because many in here, and I'm going to look down. I'll look at the camera because they can't see me. I can't see them. How many have had prophetic words spoken over their lives about what God's called them to do and have not fulfilled that? That's the question. And the question is, when things are spoken over us, the Bible says that we're to wage war with the prophecy spoken over us. So waging war means I write that down and I go back and I research that. And when I know that there's confirmation in my spirit and I agree with God, and you're going to need some wisdom and understanding, because usually God prophesies something over your life that's so grand, it's so huge, it's so far beyond your thinking that you say, that's impossible. And then we go back to, oh God, I hope the blood is enough. We get afraid. We get afraid to go out and step out into the dominion that he has given us. He didn't say do it all at once. He just said take a step. Right? How do we take a step? We're faithful in the house of God. We're faithful in Bible study. We're faithful in giving. We're faithful to our wives. We're faithful to the call of God. We're faithful at our job and we work harder than everybody else. Those are all things that God's preparing us for in order to lead men and women. We agree? God's spoken over things over people's lives, and yet they're not walking it out because they're still wondering if God's able, or they made mistakes and therefore they want to go back under the blood again. I want you to know the blood is enough for all of your sins. He doesn't want you hanging out there. He wants you free. So therefore, when your mind says, oh, I got to ask for forgiveness again, then do it quickly and be done. Because what did 1 John 1:9 say? He's faithful and just to, of what? Of what? Of what? Of what? Wait till everybody's saying it. Of what? All your sins. And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He didn't say in 3 weeks. He didn't say when you've been in Christ long enough and you've memorized the book of Acts. Thank goodness. He said he's faithful and just because he knows your heart. He knows all the thoughts and intents of our heart. He's intimately acquainted with all of our ways. So therefore, when the blood comes, it washes and cleanses. Then the Spirit comes and empowers us for what? Works. What happened on the day of Pentecost? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. How many were speaking in tongues? All of them. Right? Some people are like, okay, that's weird. That's wacky. I don't want no part of that. You lose. You miss out on what the Word of God says. Does the word of God scare you? Sure it does. I don't want to stand before the bema seat. Now I know the blood's enough, but the thought of standing before a perfectly holy, just God, knowing the only thing I had to stand on is what he said in his word. That's it. I'm going into this with all of my heart, believing that his word is true. But the thought about standing before him and he's going to see every thought I ever had, every word I ever spoke, everything I allowed in my eyes, every time I've listened to something that was not okay, everything I put my hands to and what I ran after, All of that is going to be expressed and exposed. Yeah, that scares me. But thank God for his love. Thank God for the blood. Because that's why we can walk in faith and cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. Because I don't even want to see all the things that I've done. But then he's going to say, the blood was enough. So we no longer have to worry or fret or fear. But so many in the body of Christ aren't sure whether the blood is enough. And therefore they back off. And they say, well, I'm going to keep working at it. I'm going to keep trying. And God said, no, I already did the work. Now I want you to surrender to what my word says that the blood would do. And now I want you to walk in the spirit. Because just like Peter, when the spirit of God came, Peter stood up. And how many were added to the body of Christ? That's the work of the spirit. 3,000 added to the body of Christ in one day. That's what happens when we walk in the spirit. Peter just stood up and he spoke. And by the spirit he spoke, and people's lives were changed. And when the church starts standing up and speaking what the Spirit of God says, people's lives are going to be changed in a greater way. It's about the works of the Spirit now. We've received them, right? We've received the Holy Spirit as the promise from God and the gift from God. And then we speak in tongues with the Father preparing us. We're reading the Word daily, and the Holy Spirit is bringing things out of the Word constantly. Now it's about the works of the Spirit. So we know that we're in the kingdom, right? We've been brought into the kingdom because of the cross and through the power of the blood, the baptism, the Holy Spirit comes. Now what? Now I spend the rest of my life studying the scriptures and understanding all that God promised and then stepping out in what he's called me to do. I'm doing what he's called me to do. Other people are doing what God's called them to do. Some are missionaries. Some are traveling around the world. Some are planting churches. Whatever they're doing what God's called them to do. Some have businesses, and everybody that comes in there, they're hearing about the goodness of God. Can I tell you, whatever we're doing should be filled with the goodness of God. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years that were afraid to mention God because they might lose a customer. Isn't that amazing? That's what we've come to in America. Politicians afraid to say anything about their faith on TV because they'll get brutalized. Isn't that incredible? I'm a man, follow me. Just don't mention Jesus, all right? Yeah, now you ain't a man. You're just a boy in men's clothing. Just the way it is. See, because God's interested in who's going to stand up for him, not who's going to bow down to the world. And God's just looking for a generation that will stand up and say, you know what? The blood was enough. My sins are washed. The Spirit is more than enough. And the power of the Holy Ghost is going to live through me because I'm going to be controlled by it. I'm going to surrender to it. And he's going to take what God deposited and do something spectacular with it, where at least one other person's life is going to be changed. So the question is, who is God putting on your heart right now that he's already asked you to talk to? Someone that he's already put in your past. Someone he's already stirred you up and you said, oh man, they're really hurting. Somebody should really go minister to them. Don't call me. You go. Don't call me. You call somebody else in the church. You know who the evangelist is. You know who the pastoral hearts and the counselors are, the comforters are. Call them and say, hey, we need to go meet with this person. Right? My friend came today. I can't remember his name. Larry, what's his name right behind you? Huh? Huh?
Chota.
Chota's the one I prayed for down by the river. What, 3 weeks ago, Chota? Yeah, you said you were coming 1 week ago. We're glad you're here, Chota. He was down there by the river. Amen. Larry went and picked him up. I don't know if he hog-tied him or if he drug him. I don't know how he got him here. See, one sows, another one reaps. That's how the body of Christ works together when we walk in the Spirit of God. Right? I meet him, I speak to him, then someone else goes after him and says, hey, why don't you come with me? God sent somebody bigger than me and chose to listen. Huh? Who's that? Seth? Well, we're glad to have you here, Seth. Welcome to the body of Christ, baby. That's some Barry Hudson over there. He brings them all. I want you fellas to know that God's madly in love with you. The reason why we're preaching the word of God is for you. These guys have already heard pretty much everything I've said. I've been here for 25 years. They know every one of my stories, and now when I tell them, they're like, here we go again. Yeah, see, they're laughing at me. Do you see that? They know it's true, but we're here because of you guys. We're here because we want you to walk in the fullness that God has for you. Everything that he planned for you and prepared for you before the world was created, that's what we're looking at, telling you he's madly in love with you. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. He's not really interested in what you have done yesterday. He's interested in what you do today. He said he wants to be your God and your Father. And he said the blood of Jesus is enough to wash away all of your sins. And he's got a life that's extraordinary waiting for you if you'll surrender to him. That's the only way it works, fellas. It's the only way it works is when we surrender. All right? So we're glad you're here. Oh, the red numbers. Means I'm using up time that they won't allot me. I don't care. Jesus said, one last scripture, Jesus said in John 14:10-12. It says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. The Father in me does, the Father starts to work inside of us. And he wants us to get to work. America is destroying one generation after another by telling them they can have something without working. Young people, get used to working. If you don't work, you will never accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. God does not call lazy people. He does not call people who want to sit around and take something from someone else that is not theirs and then say, oh, I deserve it. We deserve hell at best. That's what we deserve because of the sin that was in our lives. But now God has said, hey, no, what I've given you is I've restored you unto myself, filled you with power to accomplish all that I've sent you to do. There's nothing lacking in you, but I need you to get to work. And people say, yeah, but I don't want to. That's the preacher's job. It's every one of our jobs. If you're lazy, you're limited. You're not allowed. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be lazy. Tell your other neighbor, say, you are not allowed to be lazy. See, because that means getting up in the morning and spending time in the Word. Yeah, but Pastor, I have to be to work at 8. See, because if you're lazy in the Word, you're going to be limited in your effectiveness. And hey, when you get done reading, then make sure you set some time aside for prayer. Pastor, how much do you want from me? I want everything you got, because everything that you have was given to you by the King of Glory. And therefore, when we get everything you've got, that means many people's lives are changed and brought into the kingdom of God. We're not going to stop until we drain you completely of all that God has deposited. Because that means you're touching people's lives that we'll never meet. We'll have two more gentlemen that come in every week because of you walking in the Spirit of the living God. Amen? All right, stand up this morning. Jesus said, I'm doing the works of my Father. The rest of the scripture says, believe me that in me, or I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. How many people believe that Jesus Christ has changed your lives, because your life because of your works? No, that's good. How many people walk with Christ because of the work that God did in you? Sorry. I was confusing. I saw everybody like getting fist fights and stuff. I'm like, hey, this is church. People's lives change when you do the works. When you fall in love with the Lord, people's lives change. When we spend time in the Word and in prayer, people's lives change. When you give them what the Holy Spirit gives you early in the morning, people's lives change. When you believe you have dominion, just like putting on your jogging suit and running, when you get up in the morning, you speak to God, He speaks to you. You have dominion there everywhere you walk. So when you open up, He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll remind you. I'll remind you of the word I gave you last Thursday. I'll remind you of the prayer that you prayed 6 weeks ago. I'll remind you. Just keep reading. And I'll draw it out of you when the time is near. When I'm ready to change somebody's life, I will utilize that for your strength to change their lives. This is about the works. And the work of the Spirit is standing up and proclaiming. And we all know Acts 1 said, you will be my what? Witnesses. You'll be my what? You know what a witness does? He just witnesses to the truth. That's all we do. We witness to what we have seen and heard. That's all God's asking us to do. To witness to the truth. Be witnesses of the truth. Amen? All right. So, now that we know, are you in the kingdom of God?
Yes.
How many have been ripped out of darkness and brought into the light? Right? Right. So now, is the blood enough to wash away all your sins?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been made a new creature?
Yes.
Yeah. Whole room full of creatures. That's right. Have you been filled with the Spirit of God?
Yes.
All right. Does all power belong to you?
Yes.
Do you have dominion everywhere you walk?
Yes.
Are you going to be distracted by the dirt anymore?
No.
Let the world, isn't that what the world does? They thrive on dirt. Right? And they say, oh, look at your dirt. And we're going to tell her about your dirt. And we're going to tell her dirt about to her. And then his, oh, his dirt is, that's wheelbarrows full. So we're going to tell about all that. And all the world does is delve into the dirt and want to bring division. But when we walk in the Spirit, we bring unity. Because everybody in here has the same value. Everybody in here has the same value. It's based on the one that created you. Amen? You ready to go do the works?
Yep.
I can't wait to walk out on a street corner one day and see people from Rock Solid Church on the corner sitting, standing on their soapbox. Ooh, and just preaching Jesus and people coming around. Some throwing rocks and some accepting Christ. Both happen when you preach. Both happen when you step out. But you're not afraid because you have dominion everywhere you walk. All the way to the end. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. Lord, I thank you for the freedom in the house of God to believe your word. You said these are the works that you're going to do, greater than the ones that you did. Father, forgive us for thinking about less than what you have done, or doing nothing, or being afraid, Lord, of what's going to happen, so we just walk into church on a Sunday morning, and an hour and a half we walk out, and then we come back in again, and nothing in between those moments. Father, today I pray for the body of Christ, Lord, that each one would be reminded the blood was enough. I'm free indeed. And the Spirit of God now dwells on the inside of me, and He's mighty. He's the most powerful entity. He's the one that formed the very heavens and the earth. Ah, oh, God, help us to see all that you have promised us. And we know that the Holy Spirit only does and says what Jesus said and did. Therefore, He wants us to do the same. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll never lead us astray. You'll never lie. You will never deceive us. You will never play games. You will only speak of what you have heard from the Father. So, Holy Spirit, today, I pray that you would give us ears to hear so clearly your voice. And then, Lord, I thank you for the men and women in this house, that they are beautiful gifts to Greene and Columbia and the surrounding counties. They are the warriors of righteousness in this house right now. Father, I thank you that you've empowered them to bring transformation into people's lives by your love. Father, change our hearts so that we fall in love with you to such a degree that all people ever receive from us are the words of life. Lord, I thank you for the change and the transformation through your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Rest upon each one and fill them. Fill them up right now, Lord. Oh, let them be filled again with joy, again with strength, again with a heart of worship and gratitude. Fill them up again, Lord, with a desire to change people's lives. Fill them up again, Lord, with understanding that when they look around, this world has nothing for us. It's all temporal and passes away. Father, fill us up. Fill us up again this morning so that we would walk in the fullness that you have given us. Lord, I just speak life over every life that's here. Father, I speak strength into each one. Peace over every marriage in the name of Jesus. Peace right now. Joy in marriages in this house in the name of Jesus. Vision for every family represented here. Father, that it would be such a strong vision that you'd wake us up in the early morning and we would start to write them down, those purposes that you have already preordained for our lives. Lord, I thank you for the young people that are here. Lord, the teenagers that you have brought into this house, thank you for the gifts that they have, oh God, and the life that they bring. Thank you for the little ones, oh God, that we see such joy. And Lord, just one little thing that they do and it lights up our lives. All they have to do is dance or smile or give us a feather. Whatever it is, Lord, the beauty and the innocence and the purity in their eyes. Help us, oh God, to look out for each and every one of them, to guide them, to love them, to pick them up, to make sure that they know that they're loved in the house of God. Lord, that they would never be rejected in any way, shape, or form, but they would always have a purpose in their lives. Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have right now in Jesus' name.